only take responsibility and fully take responsibility for that you can control. And the only things that we can control is our own actions, our emotions, our thoughts, and ultimately the biggest one, the most powerful one, is our beliefs. If you take control of those four areas, then and only then you have the opportunity to increase the influence you have on other people or on circumstances that you don't have control over. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fresh Perspective. And this is another episode of Unpacking with Mariki Smit. Hello, Mariki. Welcome.
Hello, Francois. Thank you so much.
Yeah, your questions will help us find a fresh perspective, take another look at life. So what's the question that you would like to explore today?
I would like you to introduce us to a concept that was actually the first of your concepts that I fell in love with and that I reference often. You've also got a nice podcast series on taking responsibility if people want to refer back to that. But you have a concept that you call the clarity tree, and where you demarcate what I can take responsibility for and what I cannot take responsibility for. Won't you tell us a bit more about that clarity tree?
Okay. The tree of clarity. So basically, my take on it is that we have to take responsibility for that over which we have 100% control, right? Only take responsibility and fully take responsibility for that you can control. And the only things that we can control is our own actions, our emotions, which often surprise people that you can control that and take responsibility for it. Our thoughts, and ultimately the biggest one, the most powerful one, is our beliefs. If you take control of those four areas, if you take responsibility for those four areas, then and only then you have the opportunity to increase the influence you have on other people or on circumstances that you don't have control over. You might be able to influence it, but that's also not guaranteed. If you direct any of your energy to anything outside of that, I call that gambling, because you have no control. You're giving your time and energy to things and you hope that something might happen, just like a gambler would, instead of taking that same time and energy and effort and focusing it inwards. So your behavior, your emotions, your thoughts, and your beliefs, those are the things that you are responsible for and over which you have 100% control. Is that clear enough?
That's clear, but I would love for you to illustrate that with an example.
All right. So a very practical example that I use often is when you're driving, right? So something triggers us. So there's a situation that triggers us. Maybe someone cuts you off in traffic. Now, I don't know what your reaction is, but whatever it is, you might be upset. You might, you know, honk your horn or flip a finger or shout or whatever.
Depends on the time of day and the time of the month, honestly.
Yeah. I get that. So whatever it is, you react on the situation. There's a trigger, there's a situation, and you react on it. And usually we say, well, I reacted like that because of what happened, what that person did. But really, you react that way because of the way you feel in that moment. And when you're driving in your car, you don't often think about that. So maybe you say, yes, I'm angry or I'm upset. Well, there's obviously or probably more going on. You feel disrespected, right? That might be something that you feel in that moment. That's why you react like that. You feel a sense of injustice, unfairness, whatever. There's something going on there. There's an emotion because our behavior, our reactions it's driven by our emotions. Doesn't matter how much of a logical, analytical person you are, emotions drive your behavior. So then I asked the question, okay, why do you feel like that in that moment? Because someone else might experience exactly the same thing, and it might seem that they don't even notice. In fact, they welcome it. Like, oh yeah, go ahead, squeeze in, no problem. Why does someone else react so much differently than you? Well, because you have certain automatic thoughts in that moment. And, you know, I don't want to go too deeply into all the detail of it, but you might think in that moment, what a jerk, what a selfish person. You might think, I'm not going to let this guy get away with it. All those thoughts create the emotions which create the behavior. And beneath all of that, there's a belief. There's a belief. And you might believe, like, to be a considerate driver means that you ask, you know, you kind of, can I squeeze in here instead of just, you know, nudging the nose of your car into the road and squeezing in or whatever. That's a very practical and simple example, but now you can amplify it to, you know, relationships. You can amplify it to your work scenario. What's the situation? My boss is doing this. I react like this. Well, of course I react like this because my boss is like this. No. What do you feel in that moment? What are you thinking that create those emotions? All right. What's the belief behind those thought patterns? Exploring that. And of course, you know, as part of the Clarity Quest, it's quite a process to really understand how to use this tool. But once you understand it, it's super powerful. It's very effective.
Because then based on this tree of clarity, the premise is that if you change the way you think and believe about certain things, you can also change the way that you respond in certain situations.
Yes.
So you are not in a river that is in flood and you are just being swept along by your circumstances. You have a choice of how to respond based on what you think and believe.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes we might say, okay, no, I realize the way I behave is not right. So it's not that time of the month, as you said, and it's a good time of the day. And now you're able to say, okay, it's fine. But that's not sustainable because the same emotions, thoughts, and beliefs are still in place. So the only way to really make a radical and permanent change is understanding, okay, this is what I believe that triggers the thoughts and emotions and behavior. So how do I want to feel? And what do I need to think to feel like that? And what do I need to believe to think like this, to feel like that, then behave the way I want to behave? And sometimes people will tell me I can't believe it's that simple. It feels magical when they start applying it. Because in the same situation, they are now able to behave completely differently and also feel differently in that moment. And then their influence starts to increase because they are taking control and responsibility only for the things that they can control. I can't control a guy in another car. I can't. No. So why give that person the power? Why disempower myself to allow that person to make me feel a certain way, spoil my day, you know, get trapped in a thought loop? It's not necessary. But by writing a new belief, you can immediately shift your focus to that new belief. And that creates the thoughts and emotions and behavior.
And of course, we are oversimplifying in this conversation. It's an ongoing process and revisiting your new beliefs and recognizing your old beliefs and how it's holding you back. But but it's a process. And I want to encourage somebody, if they're not part of the Clarity Quest, that's one of the things that we often visit in the Clarity Quest. And it's an amazing, amazing tool to have, is a weekly check-in to recheck your old beliefs and revisit your new beliefs and write a new default for yourself. I want to ask you, Francois, based on this now, the word responsibility is also often used in two contexts. So my question today is twofold. As a mother of three children, often I struggle to understand where my responsibility, in inverted commas, starts and where my responsibility ends. Towards my children, to what extent as a mother can I say it's outside of my responsibility, although I am responsible for my children? Based on the clarity, the tree of clarity, and based on wanting to feel in control because I'm only taking ownership or responsibility of the things that I can control. With children, it sometimes feels a bit murky.
Yeah.
So that's where my question ends, although it's not a question.
Yeah, okay. So taking responsibility for people, including children, is not really possible because you can't take responsibility for them because you can't control them. So there's different phases of parenthood. The very first part, you have more control. And to distinguish, you have more influence, way more influence. But the older a child gets, the less that influence becomes, especially if you keep on focusing on trying to control the child. So when you, as a parent, focus on controlling a child, right, in the end, you might be able to accomplish that. So you either end up with a child that rebels drastically, massively, or comes to university here in Stellenbosch and then loses all control because now there's freedom, right? And behave quite badly and sometimes put themselves in danger because of it. So you can try and do that. So you get the rebel, or you get the one that just fits in all the boxes, does all the right things to please. And that's also very costly in the long run, because that person just wants to please people, becomes a people pleaser, becomes afraid to take risks, and et cetera, et cetera. But that's almost a whole new scope that we can go into in another episode.
I'll make a note for a next question.
What you can take responsibility of in that moment is the kind of parent you are going to be. That you can take responsibility for. And the more responsibility you take here, the more you understand this is what I can control, the higher the odds of you influencing your child becomes. Right? So, being responsible for someone else's behavior, and we feel like I'm responsible for my child's behavior. No, you're not. But you are responsible for the influence you have on that child, the way you guide that child. Now, how do you increase that influence? You take control of yourself. You take responsibility of those things. What kind of parent do I want to be? And when it comes to raising children, my mantra is, I've got two ones that I rely on. The first one is, when I know better, do better, right? When you know better, do better. So when I see a certain approach, so I take control of myself and take responsibility, I approach my child a certain way, I look at the result and I say, oh, this isn't really working. This isn't giving me the influence I want. This isn't helping me shape this child into something, someone with values that I think are important, right? I need to start here first. Okay, what am I missing? How can I approach it differently? What else can I try to get that result? Jordan Peterson says, you know, don't allow your child to become someone that you don't like. And I think it's so, so powerful and so important, right? Because we love our children, but we might not even like them sometimes, especially as they grow older and we didn't show up the way we wanted to take control. All right, so that's the first thing. when you know better, do better. And that's here. I need to improve. I need to try something different. I can go, the child never listens to me. But what am I doing? I'm doing the same thing, exactly the same way, feeling the same, and I'm not getting the result. So who's the real idiot? Me. Who's the one not learning? Who's the one not listening? I'm the one not listening and learning. I'm not paying attention. So I can now experiment with different approaches, try different things by taking responsibility in. The second thing is, when it comes to parenthood and responsibility, is I want my children to have brand new issues, right? I can take responsibility for the issues I have, the trauma I experience, the hurt, the woundedness, and make sure that I do all the work I need to do to heal from them and be as healthy a parent as I can be. Not bring my baggage and dump it on my children. So one way of dumping our baggage on our children is we do no work, right? We just kind of become the same way and hurt in the same way that our parents might have done to us, or we are reactive. So my parents were very strict, so I'm not gonna be like that. So, but that's still allowing that to shape you and control you. So now you are trying to be the cool parent, no boundaries. You know, you get parents that allow teenagers to come to their house to drink. You know, that's just arrested development. That's a mom or a dad who felt like they weren't cool at school. Now they can be cool and accepted, or they were cool at school and now they can be cool again by being that kind of parent. That's not healthy. So you are reactive, and now you're causing different and might be different issues, but it stems from the same place. For me, it's like, if I do the hard work of making sure I'm as healthy and healed as I can be and grow as much as I can, I'm not perfect still. So that means that my children will have issues, but at least they will be fresh. Because I'm more comfortable. Yeah, fresh perspective, fresh problems. So that's the best I can aim for, because I am not perfect. So I will make mistakes. I will miss something. I will have a bad day. I will forget how to take responsibility for this. I will lose control sometimes. But also knowing how I can restore that, how I can talk to my children about it, how I'm able to be strict and maintain discipline and boundaries, because then they feel safe. But at the same time, if the way I enforce the boundaries is not healthy, if I'm screaming, I'm losing my temper, then restore that by apologizing. Say, okay, that's not the way I wanted to do it. This is what happened for me, taking control here. So it's a very, very, very different thing. So they will have some stuff that they might deal with later on. But they might also then come talk to me about those issues later in life, because I will be available. I will be open to saying, okay, I didn't realize this had that kind of effect on you. Whatever it might be. But the focus remains here. This is what I take responsibility for, how I show up. Because when I notice something, I need to ask myself, well, am I happy with the kind of parent I was there? Am I happy with the result I got? Can I honestly say that I'm increasing and maximizing my influence on my child? Can I say that I'm taking each child as an individual and asking myself, okay, how do I need to show up for this child? How do I need to show up for that child? By taking responsibility here, right? How can I influence this child? How do I increase my influence? All of those are hard questions, because we want to treat them all the same, which sounds like a very good thing, but actually it's not, because they are not the same. They are definitely not the same. So they need to be treated differently, but you can hold them to the same standard, to the same values, to the same boundaries, but the way you communicate it, it's all up to you. So sometimes parents will say, Yeah, this one listens to me, but this one. But they treat them exactly the same. Except they get upset when this one doesn't respond to it. And they are very happy when this one responds to the same reaction. Right? So why not change your approach and take that responsibility? That's uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
It reminds me of a story of my grandmother when she was still alive. The oldest cousin and the youngest cousin are probably almost 20 years apart, 13 of us. So there's 11 in between. And my grandmother had a very, in her mind, fair rule that for every A that you get in matric, you get 100 rand. That was the rule for the first cousin. And it remained the rule right through 20 years later. No inflation.
No inflation.
100 rand for every A in matric because she just wanted to be so fair.
No inflation.
No inflation.
So I don't know if it's such a sensitive topic, parenthood, right, and responsibility. But you can apply the same thing within a marriage, right? You cannot control the other person. And you will not be married to the same person forever. It's impossible. Because that person will change. The person you got married to is not the same person you are married to today.
And so neither are you.
Yeah, exactly. So one reason is that person changes, but also you change. So the way you view that person is different. So you see different things and you need to recommit to that and take responsibility for what you can control, which is all here, so you can increase your influence. So if your partner doesn't address certain needs you have, and you're always trying in the same way, well, how can you take responsibility? How can you do it differently? And sometimes people will say, you know, if it's parenthood or relationship, I've tried everything. Okay, let's list it. And I take my, I say, let's list. What I tried this thing. Okay, what else? And number two, they start thinking, what else? Oh, I did this. And that's not everything. What else can you try? Experiment. And that's taking responsibility for what you can control. But, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, I call that gambling, because you expect to hit the jackpot and then, there it is. Everything will change from now on forwards if I just keep on pulling the same lever. I don't know if that answers your question.
Absolutely. And you have nicely segued into my second question.
Oh, it's more?
There's more. So in The Little Prince that we all probably read at university, the writer writes that you are responsible. Oh goodness, now what did he say in English? I never read it in English. But can I say it in Afrikaans? Jy bly of jy is verantwoordelik vir die mense wat jy mak gemaak.
Oh yeah.
So the people that you tame, I don't know if that's the right word, but you are responsible for them. And words like that in a narrative in our community, relationships are work and you are responsible to make your marriage work and stuff like that. It is true, but it's also not true.
Yeah, because
it's my question, but it's not a question.
Yeah, no, Mike, exactly. The way you take responsibility for that is by focusing here. Take responsibility for what you can control. And there's so many things that you can tweak and shape and do differently over here that helps you take responsibility over there. Right? That's the way you do it, because you can't control. You can't control another person. There's just no way. And it's sometimes very hard to do. Because we'd like to say, like, well, I've tried everything, or I tried another thing and that also didn't work, and I tried it once, you know, whatever. We want to fight for our our struggles, right? We want to keep our struggles in place because if we can fight for it, no, it won't work. That won't work. Then we remain innocent. And if we are innocent, we don't have to take responsibility. Then we don't have to change. Then we can remain in this loop and just complain. But experimenting and trying different things, it's taxing. It's very taxing. Understanding that, you know, I've got a four-year-old that that challenges me in so many different ways by just refusing to do certain things. So I can lose my temper every time, and I've lost my temper sometimes, and wonder why she's not changing or responding to that. Or I can ask myself, like, what else can I do? How can I respond? So my latest experiment is just really affirming her, looking her in the eye and telling her how proud I am of her, telling her how much I appreciate her, telling her the things that I see that she does well. Because what I noticed in myself is when I'm trying to get her to listen to something I'm saying, I'll say, look at me. And then I'll say it. But do I ever do that when I want to celebrate her? I realize, no, I don't. So now I'm like, look at me. I noticed the way you played with your friend when she was visiting. I noticed this. I saw you did this. That says, you know, we've got this thing. We're Esterhazen, so we've got this nickname, Essies. So we've got a thing like, what would an Essie do? So that's a way for me to build the values into it. So I tell her, you were a real Essie because, you know, you shared with this friend of yours. You took turns, whatever I noticed. But I make sure I tell her, look at me. And, this is making me emotional now. To see those little blue eyes soften and relax and lock into mine and take it in and just see that little body relax. It's so rewarding. And I could have missed that by just remaining, you know, trying to control her, trying to force her, trying to discipline her. Instead of saying, what else can I do? How can I take responsibility for things I can control? And then when I ask her to do something, it's different. But it doesn't guarantee that now she will always listen to what I'm saying. It's no guarantee because I don't have control over her. You know, but it helps me grow. It helps me experiment. And also helps me see areas where I still need to grow and to heal. Right, be curious about what am I feeling in this moment. So if a four-year-old doesn't respond to what I'm saying, what do I feel? Why? What am I thinking? Why? What do I believe? And asking those questions, it's uncomfortable. And that's where I choose to go, to the uncomfortable, so I can grow and show up. And as in the story I just shared with you, it's very rewarding to see that.
For me, the most rewarding, it took me about 8 years of being a mother to get to a point where I realized, oh, I think I'm parenting for the audience, or I'm parenting for in a way that people are expecting me to parent, or the way that I've always thought this is what parenting is. It took me about 8 years. And the most amazing thing... No, let's just say to make the first mind shift. But I remember the first 8 years feeling so out of control because I was trying to control things that were outside of my control. So that was my one big takeaway from what you're saying now is trying to take control is the worst way. Trying to control things that are outside of your responsibility is the worst way to try and control something. That was my first realization. And I think the second one was, not only did my children respond better to me in the way that you describe now, but I really love the person that I've become over the past, let's say after that 8 years, in the past 6 years. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
because I like the person that I'm becoming because of the mind shifts that I've made, because of stopping to take responsibility, or trying to take responsibility, or rather take control for things that I cannot control. Yeah. So to me, that was almost the biggest or as big a reward as seeing the response in my children.
Yeah, awesome. I think to make the distinction clear is we try and control things that we are supposed to influence. We avoid responsibility by trying to control. Because the responsibility is here, the control is here, right? So don't use control where only influence will work. So you might get a child to obey you, but at what cost?
And you might get a spouse to buy you flowers, but at what cost? And yes. I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but yes. But you could pull it to that. You could get your spouse to dance the way that you want them to dance, but at what cost?
What cost? Yeah. I saw someone sent me a little Instagram reel that shows the door, and this woman's standing in front of the door, you know, inside with a bunch of flowers and a gift. And the guy walks in the door and she gives it to him and pushes him out the door. And then he comes back in and she's like, oh, wow, thank you. And grabs. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, since reading and listening to your podcast of the responsibility series, I've started before my birthday or important dates, I will send 5 screenshots with links to websites to my husband of things that he could think about buying for me. It's always a surprise because I don't know which one of the 5 I'm going to get.
Yes.
But I always get a present and I always love my present. So I've taken responsibility of what I can control.
Yes. And you're influencing him, not controlling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Francois, thank you so much once again. And I want to encourage listeners to go and listen to your podcast series. You've also got a new book coming out on this subject of taking responsibility. Maybe give us a little sneak preview. What's the name of the book?
Well, the book is called The Empowering Truth of Responsibility. So I'm exploring a lot of the things we spoke about here, but it's got 10 short practical chapters in it. So launching soon. But thank you once again. Mariki, for creating this space to unpack certain concepts. And thanks everyone for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.